The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
Next week came pretty quick because you're sitting right here, Jake, eating pizza. And, of course, now it's just Jake and I flying solo, as it were, Brent and Sheila. We're ready to shuffle off and, you know, get home, and we figured we took up enough of their time. So for the last hour or so, Jake and I are just going to be covering things on our own. And I'm ready to berate him very loudly for selling his PSP. How could you do that? Seriously, why? Why would you have done that? And I know it could be a suck on productivity, but the PSP is just a beautiful machine.
Well, you know, I really didn't want to get hooked on playing, because had I kept that would have been my entire life for, like, who knows how long.
Yeah, but that's not a bad thing. I mean, it gives you something to do.
I have plenty to do.
Okay, so but like in the moment of downtime, or if you're out and about and you've got, you know, nothing else going on, or you're waiting for something to finish downloading, or you're waiting for
something.
The
moment of downtime becomes like 3 days of downtime. It becomes like the I'll start playing a game.
So wait.
And I won't stop playing that game until I get to the end of the game.
You know, I'm usually the same way, but why is that the only reason you sold it?
Yeah. I mean, that was pretty much the only reason I got rid of it.
You sold it. Let me get this straight. You sold it because it was so good.
Yes.
Man, you are crazy. How? I mean, I just don't understand how you could have had that and then gotten rid of the experience. And I know, believe me, I know the power. I know the power of the PSP. It Game Boy is in trouble, and I'm even after seeing the E3 announcements, dwarfed. Everything is dwarfed by the PSP at this point. That is just an amazing system, and I can't wait to see the games. Now, the UMD format, I'm not sold on, and of course, you know how much I love
the UMD format. Is crap.
Well, it's not just crap, but I'm not going to buy a movie for $20-$30 just because it's on UMD. I'm going to maybe buy the DVD, then transcode it, and that way I've got, you know, cross compatibility.
The thing that really doesn't make sense there is, like, unless they're going to start releasing a UMD player to compete with DVD players, which is never going to happen.
No,
because you know, you got Blu-ray and HD DVD, and so, I mean, that's the direction that Sony's going to be headed. So there's no way that UMD has any life beyond the PSP.
You know what they're probably doing is they're probably getting back for the whole the mini disc thing that never took off.
So they're going to have another format that'll never take
basically.
Off.
Basically, they're big into the whole format thing that never takes off.
Yeah.
Memory stick, you could say
starting
it took
with beta.
Off. Right, with beta. Memory, they've got, this is the thing, they've got a history of launching these proprietary products that just don't work.
Memory stick only works because if you buy one of their products, it's the only thing that will work
for
the product.
And that's it. I mean, it's planned obsolescence too, which sucks. I mean, you've got a memory stick, you know, you got the Duo, you got the Pro, you got the Pro Duo, you got the regular one, you got the Magic Game one, you get like 13 different like versions of the memory stick. And it's just not that this memory stick works with everything.
Duo Pro or whatever, the one that fits in the PSP, looks practically like it's a SD card.
Yeah, that's what it is. In fact, it's a little longer and a little thinner, but it's an SD. That's all it is.
And so, I mean, basically they're just trying to lock you into higher prices, mm-hmm. because there's only like three or four manufacturers of memory stick, and they've all – I think they've got like fixed pricing they're probably paying a licensing fee to Sony that keeps the prices higher.
And it's like I said, you know, I got one for right around 100 for a gigabyte, and it's not a faster one because apparently the PSP, which is the only way I'm going to use this stick,
it's not a Duo Pro 2.
No, it's a Duo Pro. Apparently the transfer rate doesn't take advantage of it, so there's no reason to get the faster one if the hardware doesn't support it. So everything I read, it works just fine, you know, with just a regular one.
Well, see, I use the Duo Pro card, I think, yeah.
Yeah. So, and according to the website, too, it's like a game stick or whatever, and I got it from, like I said, chumbo.com for right around 100, which is probably still selling for now. Problem is I'm on a waiting list, and I don't know when it's going to come in. You know, thank goodness I don't have anything that I really need on there, other than, at this point, save games.
Yeah.
But, you know, going with like a...
Well, you got the 32 meg card will hold your saved games.
Yeah. It's not going to hold video.
No.
But, you know, at least a higher quality video. And I haven't really even stepped through that yet with PSP video at all. But I, as I've come to understand in looking at the PSP community at large, that seems to be the leading app for transcoding videos and getting it ready for the
Yeah, Sony. That's probably the best one. There's a this one that you can get from a Japanese download site called 3GP Converter that seems to have some audio sync problems. Like you'll transcode the file, and then the audio and video will be out of sync. If you happen to run into that, the best way that I've found to deal with it is actually to repair the file in VirtualDub before doing the conversion to the MP4 file, because VirtualDub will actually somehow, and I've never quite figured out how this exactly works, but if you get a video that you transcode and the video and the audio are slightly out of sync so that it looks more like it's an old like kung fu movie, VirtualDub will sync it back up and problem solved.
Wow.
Sometimes, I mean, if it's in a format that's not AVI, you gotta convert it to AVI first to do it. But
I think what is it, ZillaSoft, and I'll have to look up the exact name. When they release a PSP converter, I'll let everybody know.
ZillaSoft DVD Ripper.
Yeah, that's ZillaSoft. Then they're working on a specific application for PSP, which is good to see.
Their whether or not, pretty well.
Yeah, whether or not it'll actually beat PSP video, I don't know.
They don't have the most elegant UI on the planet, no. but their stuff does work.
Their stuff works.
Actually, the guy that makes Pocket DVD Wizard has an app that is specific for PSP.
Is that the one that you used or the one that I tried that one time?
Pocket DVD Wizard is the app that I think that you use.
See, and here's the thing. I know a lot of people have noted that the battery life on the PSP sucks. I'm still on my first charge.
Yeah, I didn't have problems. I wonder if there's like some inconsistencies with the quality of the battery.
There must be, just like with the quality of the screen.
Because mine had no screen problems that I had. And I mean, granted, I only had it for like 2 weeks, but even so, it had no screen problems. The battery life, I think I charged it once, because I like used it till the battery ran down, charged it, and then realized that I needed to get rid of it or my life would just...
Man. Well, I ended up getting I got some screens from a website, basically screen protectors, but I ruined the first one, and they're so expensive, I'm like, cheese and crackers.
You ruined the screen protector?
Well, yeah, I couldn't get it to go on right, because if you don't, the problem is that you've got to go around, navigate around buttons.
Oh.
And if you don't lay it down perfectly, you get bubbles and gaps. And
so, like, the company that makes those ones for, like, Palm and Pocket PC isn't making them
no,
yet?
No, not
like,
yet.
Or, like, Fellows isn't making
nope,
something?
Not yet. And they've largely stuck, I don't think they've even gone into the gaming market. But to protect something here, I could easily just use one of the things that I've got for my Pocket PC, but the one that I got was like 100% clear. So I didn't have any like anti-glare, any weirdness that you usually have, and I don't want to decrease the quality of the screen, because the screen
on
here is just
beautiful.
I'd be
afraid about putting something on there and then losing the screen quality. You know, the one thing that I don't like about the PSP, this is probably my biggest gripe, and it's the same grip I have for my HP laptop, is that shiny coating on the outside is like practically like a mirror. If you're in daylight, you're not seeing the screen at all, because you're seeing like the stuff behind you.
Yep.
And that's annoying.
You know, and one of the reasons to get the screen protector is, you know, to cut down on that, as well as to protect the screen. But I'm at the point where, you know, after trying to put that on, I'm like, it's going to be a while before I try it again, because it was expensive. It was like $10 a sheet. I mean,
they need to like develop like a Hoodman thing, like video cameras for the LCD screen on the
I wouldn't
video
be surprised if someone is in the process of developing that.
Actually, a thing that you like put up against your eyes.
Oh, God, that'd be crazy. they actually had those for earlier digital cameras, like for the Mavica years ago. They had that before they had the swivel screen or the tilt screen. They had something where you could actually see it in daylight. The nice thing though about this, the company that I got it through, they also had a USB charger cable, one of those that it's spring loaded.
Oh, where you can devices. Like, it's a retractable cable.
Yeah, retractable cable that basically connects to the power and then plugs it charges through USB. I'm like, awesome! So now I've got a USB charger, and that's just why Sony wouldn't have shipped it with that is just beyond me.
Because they can charge more for extra crap.
Well, but Sony didn't charge; it was a third party vendor that basically developed.
Yeah, but I know like Best Buy when they came out, they had like all these weird bundles where you could get extra like USB add-ons and car chargers and metal casings and I don't know like.
I figured
like
honestly,
a carrying case that was designed to hold UMD cartridges and memory sticks, and it's like,
see, I got a starter kit just for like $10 or whatever, and the only thing I used from it really was the cartridge holders, which I was thankful for. I mean, I got the little cartridge holders, but I could have probably about gotten them cheaper if I just bought them, you know, either a la carte or just on their own. But the case that it comes with is actually pretty nice. I got a carrying case with it, very nice. Or I guess a protective case. The USB charger, of course, is a great add-on. So now I've got, you know, the one that I've got at home, but then I've got the USB charger that I can take with me. It's just so portable. That's great. If I can get more USB chargers for everything that I own, boy, I'd
be one of those. When I actually still used a pocket PC, I had one of those because I didn't want to have to take the cradle with me.
Yeah.
Because it doubled it sync and charge.
Well, the way that my pocket PC works, the i700, is that you just you basically unplug it. And you can keep the cradle there, so you can unplug it from its base. Ponzi's has a converter that it comes with that basically allows you to unplug it from the base and then use the converter to connect it to the actual pocket PC.
See, mine was just, it had an adapter that would allow you to connect the power cord to the pocket PC, but then you lost all syncing capability because you didn't have, like, the USB connection.
The connector. Well, you know, I haven't had a chance to even, power it yet. That I know of, though, it won't run on, you know, through power. You actually have to have the battery charged in order for you to play it. At least when I first got it, I was trying to play it. Wait a minute. I take that back.
No, it does work. It works when it's plugged
it'll
in.
Work when it's plugged in. It'll work when it's plugged in. I couldn't when I first turned it on, I was having a couple of issues, but ran through it, and the applications, I've seen, you know, such a groundswell of support from third-party or independent developers with at least the older firmware, and then it was seen that this was an issue, so they basically flashed everybody to 1.5, and you can't get away with a lot of the hacks that have been going around unless you have an older version of the firmware.
Really? So a lot of the hacks are broken now?
Yep. Most, if not all, of the hacks are broken.
Like say the hack for being able to browse the web is gone?
Pretty much. They locked everything down as much as possible, making it very difficult for you to exploit or to get around those things, and they really locked it down.
That's unfortunate.
It is, because there's such a, like I said, a groundswell of just this community, and I understand. I totally get it. I mean, I went through and I subscribed to every PSP feed that I could possibly find. I'm like, dude, this is liquid crack. This is unbelievable. The experience, you know, is equivalent to the Game Gear when that was released, you know, years ago when the Game Boy was first out.
Yeah.
And I had a Game Boy. I had one of the original Game Boys, and I loved it. It was a great little device. You know, played games on it and everything, and the games were kind of compelling. And then Sega released their Game Gear, and I was just like, whoa! I mean, it was just, the screen was just, oh, it just drew me in. And of course, I sold my Game Boy at that point to get the Game Gear. And ultimately, you know, the Game Gear didn't have any games that I really wanted to play, so I was just kind of stuck with.
But it looks cool.
Oh, it looked cool. It was like, what was it called? Columns or some kind of equivalent, and then a Mickey Mouse game. And those are the only games that were like anything close.
You know,
but
Sony. I mean, Sony has like really, really awesome games for this.
Well, there's probably going to be a lot of, like with Nintendo, there's probably going to be a lot of trickle down too.
Yeah.
So if it's running on PS2, this little device has got the power to play those games. I'm telling you, the quality is so outstanding.
Probably not all PS2 games, because the PS2 apparently has like this really weird architecture where it has like all these extra processors that you can like offload stuff too, and which is why it's been able to survive as long as it has.
Well, but if only because of the titles. And like, so when someone releases it for the GameCube, they may also release it for the Game Boy.
Yeah.
And you know, working with companies and what have you. You know, I'm not a supreme gamer where I must own every game. And like I said, you know, I sold three systems to get just this one. But if you have not tried a PSP, don't read about it. Don't watch a video. You literally have to experience it, and it's an amazing amazing
addiction.
Leap. Yeah, this is exactly what if Microsoft would have released a portable media player, or I'm sorry, a portable media center that was this. Game over. That would have been amazing.
An Xbox portable.
Yes, an Xbox portable is exactly what they should have done.
I don't know what they were thinking.
They were stupid. Seriously, Jake, they were stupid. That was a stupid mistake, and they're going to be playing catch-up in about 5 years.
I think ultimately what it was is that Bill recognized that portable video was cool and didn't think about the fact that portable gaming is is the reason to buy a portable video player.
He didn't see, he did not, well, of course, and I would argue this point, he had made mention of this this past week, saying that, yeah, let Sony deal with their PSP, and we'll be, you know, going full force with the Xbox. And I'm like, you got it wrong, dude. You haven't played with the PSP, because anybody who would sit there and say that has never touched a PSP.
I can't believe, like, the thing that really blows me away is that little thumb controller that slides
around. Oh, the analog? Oh,
that
is amazing.
Just genius.
When I felt that, I was playing Wipeout Pure on Nancy. I visited her house, and her son had it. Another local geek, and Nancy's last name unfortunately eludes me at the moment, but her son had just got it and had just been released the day before, and he said, here, this is the Wipeout Pure. I'm like, oh my God. And I like said, well, what's this? And I thought it was a button, and then it slid around. I'm like, no, dude.
I you know, it took me a while to figure out where the controller was. I'm like, because, I mean, it kind of looks like it could be, I don't know what.
Well, there are very few things that I'll go out and I'll usually rely on gamers when I go to buy games. Yeah, I'll read some reviews online, but some of it's just done serendipitously. So when I drove around town in Seattle looking for lumens or lumines or lumines, however it's pronounced, unfortunately it's not like as straightforward as Tetris. I don't know how it's pronounced yet, and no one's really, that I know of, released a pronunciation guide for this addictive game. Ended up hitting a GameStop where they had that, and they had this other thing. I was looking at it. It's something called Mercury. And, you know, I was like, well, what is this? And I turned it over. It looked like a puzzle game. Like, you really can't get much from the screenshot. So I asked the guy, I'm like, well, what do you think? You know, have you heard about this Mercury? And no, and I was like, all right, so I'll get it. And, you know, if it's not that great, it's not that great. And, oh, well. And I just took to it like a duck to water. I'm like, it's just an unbelievable game.
So is that the game that's loaded in here now?
No, it's still in Wipeout Pure at this point. But
Wipeout is a cool game.
Yeah, Wipeout's an amazing game. No, I have that one in the other room. It's very you play a ball of mercury, essentially. They can split apart at any moment, and you run like obstacle courses. So as you run through things, you change the color of your blob, finish puzzles. It's a lot like Marble Madness, only with, I guess, a mercurial type of spin to it. No pun intended.
Marble Madness is pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, but seriously, just saying it's like Marble Madness doesn't do it justice. Mercury is another, in my opinion, another great game that people should own just for the sake of having fun. And some people, get sucked into sports games. I'm not one of them. Yeah, you like RPGs.
I like racing games, too, though.
I do, yeah. I do racing games because they're relatively easy to pick up and put down, you know. Whereas, like, RPGs, I feel
RPGs,
like I need to finish it.
I will play till the end. It's like, I gotta get to the end.
I cannot play RPGs for that very reason. I find it very difficult. Unless I can pick it up and put it down and let it you know, build over time. I did that with the Game Boy Advance. I did play Star Wars all the way through for Game Boy Advance, the Attack of the Clones one, I think. And then I also played Boulder Dash, but I did that incrementally. I played a lot of Boulder Dash when I was traveling. And I didn't really play with the – I had the Game Boy Advance, and it was nice and cute, and I had a couple of games for it. And, you know, I know there are tons of games that are out there for the Game Boy Advance, but I just wasn't drawn to playing it. And then, of course, the touchscreen came out, the Nintendo DS, and I was just, wow, this is really cool, a touchscreen, oh, neat, oh. You know,
I think the touchscreen is overrated.
It was, and it is overrated, largely overrated. And, you know, that's my opinion, again, not being, you know, someone who's just totally into gaming, but... Then when I had seen the PSP initially, I was like, well, I knew I had to sell it. And as I got more and more anxious to not having things that, I wasn't using, or to having things that I wasn't using, i.e. the game systems that I had, including the Game Boy, the Nintendo DS dual screen. And, selling that, there was no love lost. And then, of course, you know, I just, you know, from the... The moment one, I mean, Sony is the closest thing to in the gaming world to Apple, because the experience is just, I mean, it's not 100% there, not quite like Apple's experience, but the PSP was just melted in your mouth. The thing that I was really kind of, not frustrated with, but really confused by, is that it didn't come with a CD of any kind. So I didn't. I mean, yeah, you have a test UMD, but there was no software, no conduit software on the Windows platform. And I don't know if they were expecting third party developers to develop that, and which a couple of them have, or if they were just expecting geeks to figure it out.
Oh, that you have to go download.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. There's no conduit.
You know,
at all.
The thing that is probably the most convoluted thing is their system for setting up to be able to play movies. You have to, like, download this stuff, and then you have to copy a file over, and you have to put the files in a specific directory, and they have to have this bizarre naming convention that is not a human-readable naming convention. It's like, it has to have a certain number of characters in length, and then it has to have a corresponding, like, thumbnail to go with it so that the thumbnail will show up in the browse list, and the thumbnail has to be named the same convoluted name.
Doesn't PSP Video 9 kind of take care of that?
PSP Video 9 takes care of a lot of that, but I think that you still have to do the initial install on each individual memory stick. So this isn't a problem that you're going to only face once. If you have if you have two or three memory sticks because you got several videos or because you backed up some games or you got music on one of them or whatever, like if you want to put movies on any of those, you have to go through this convoluted series of steps on every memory stick.
You know, one of the things I've got to look for now is a collapsible or a retractable USB cable, the small one to the big one. I've got a cable that does it, on its own. But I'm looking for a retractable one. That's the next acquisition that I have to make.
A retractable USB cable?
Yeah. And I know they exist.
Yeah.
But I've got the one with the power thing, but I don't have one that's got USB, big USB to little USB, basically. I don't have that one.
Oh, I had got, where was I? Oh, when we went to the Linux Desktop Conference, AMD had this little packet of retractable cables that had interchangeable connectors. So you could, it could be USB to FireWire, USB to little USB.
That's cool.
USB to big USB.
I wish I would have grabbed that one.
And, I mean, that's like one of the few tchotchkes that I've seen at a conference in a while that I was just like, ooh,
yeah,
I gotta have this.
Actually usable.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm probably gonna find one of those things at Best Buy. But since I don't plan on syncing so many things. What, Best Buy?
No, I don't know where that little
kit.
Who knows where I put it?
Yeah. Admittedly, that looked like something that was nice. It didn't make a proprietary connection so that I could use any USB cable to connect it to the machine. That was actually surprising, but very nice to see.
Yeah, that's one of the few things that they did right.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, they had to go with a memory stick. UMD, I can forgive, too. I look at the PSP as nothing more than just a portable game, a game center, if you will.
Yeah, well, I mean, UMD, when you consider the fact that every other gaming platform has a proprietary gaming like cartridge or whatever, or the DVDs don't play in other consoles, that's not that big a deal. I mean, if you look at it as the fact they're trying to sell DVDs in UMD format, that's just foolish.
Well, what's foolish is that they could be doing it online, and they could be digitizing things and going with a DRM type of concept.
Well, have you seen their music store?
That's what I'm saying. I know they're light years behind, but the fact that at least I could encode or transcode video and put it on there, it's nice to know. Because I did not, and I still do not like the Portable Media Center. I think they're expensive. I think they're overkill. They don't make sense. And even to a certain degree, you know, I could offload movies onto my Pocket PC, but I never have. Largely because I don't want to spend my battery life on watching a movie if it's also my phone. I want my phone to be my need it to be my phone.
You're kind of in a slightly different scenario because you're using your Pocket PC as your phone. And so if you just had a pure Pocket PC, the battery life isn't as big an issue because if it dies, as long as you got the right stuff backed up,
right,
then big deal.
But as for gaming, though, I mean, the PSP is a gaming platform. The Pocket
definitely.
PC is just kind of like, well, it can do games, but it's not.
No, it's not,
a gaming platform.
But I mean, in terms of watching movies, I didn't have any problem watching movies on my Pocket PC when I actually had it. And in fact, that made more sense in a lot of ways than the Portable Media Center, because you can find a Pocket PC that'll play movies for, $250.
Yeah.
And an SD card that's a gig or more for
$50.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you're you're at a lower price point. I mean, you're at about the same price point as the PSP.
Yep.
And if you need all of the functionality of being able to keep track of contacts and appointments and all that stuff, then that makes sense.
Yep.
And it's a portable movie device. It could be an MP3 player, you know, whatever.
Yeah, a multifaceted device. So, I was happy to see that the PSP did more than just game stuff. Although, you know, the power of it is still, I think, extremely crippled by the fact that there's no smart way of interfacing.
Photo browsing is probably the best second feature, I think, in terms of the features available.
See, I just never in my life have I used anything like that for photo. I've never used it for photo browsing at all, any portable device.
I look at it as it's an extension of the wallet photo.
Yeah.
I mean, really. I mean, people will want to show off their kids or whatever, yeah. And that could be why you don't see the use for it yet, is because you don't have kids and I mean,
dogs, but you don't see me uploading dog pictures.
You're not showing
everywhere.
Off dog pictures. Well, see, you're just not a true blogger.
Well, but
then.
No, one of the things that people are using it for is comics, reading web comics on the PSP. They're just using the photo browsing feature. The problem is that there's no good, easy, simple, straightforward conduit of pulling those things and organizing those things. Someone hasn't
there
really
needs
developed
to be an,
software
there needs to be an RSS
it.
Reader that does a like. Fast transfer, kind of like a podcasting for image files.
Yeah. Now, that would be neat. I mean, the fact that having a podcasting app for the PSP would be amazing because of the fact that it's wireless. So, although its wireless capabilities are extremely stunted.
Its wireless capabilities are extremely pointless.
Yes. Well, like, I'm using WPA here at home with a wireless G network. It doesn't work. It will not work with this. I can only have my key. It can't be, if I was using encryption on wireless B, it can only be a 64-bit encryption.
Well, ultimately,
which is stupid.
They have the expectation of doing an ad hoc network to play games.
Yeah.
That's what it's for.
Well, but you've also got the wireless capability to download updates for games. So, like, Wipeout Pure is going to be, you know, upload or... I guess making, what do they call them, like new updated packs available here in a matter of days. They've released it in
Japan.
So
you actually have to have the game in the system to be able to get the update?
Yeah, to be able to get the update.
To me, I would think if I happen to be somewhere where I'd be doing an update, why wouldn't I just like plug it into my computer and download it and transfer via USB?
You could, but it's the fact that if I'm... what will likely happen is, you know, I'll have Wipeout Pure or whatever. I'll just go to a place that's got free Wi-Fi, get on their network, download the files, and then I'm done. But yeah, it's that would just be nice to have. And I suppose if there was that ability available, I'd probably be more apt to letting my wireless network go to that level, or either that or installing my B router and then just running it off of my somehow off of my G router. I don't know how the hell that would happen. But then broadcasting
having a
signal,
like a second network,
yeah, having a second a B network as well.
Well, so you could
have
a hub that sat outside the firewall, you know, like, and so then you have like. Your B and your G connecting through the hub.
Well, the less wireless stuff, I guess, wireless signals I'm broadcasting, probably the safer, the better off I am. But, you know, at the same time, you know, as I was stepping through that, I was just like, wow, it doesn't support, you know, it's only got B, which is fine. I haven't had a chance to really play any extended games either, like, you know, playing with friends or what have you. I don't have many friends. I was going to go to the blogger meetup last night, but then got tied up in visiting with
you were busy
Ponzi.
Playing with your PSP.
No, I wasn't actually. I was over at Ponzi's aunt and uncle with Ponzi and her aunt and uncle last night, so I couldn't make it to the blogger meetup. And there, I was actually hoping to, you know, possibly do some PSP stuff, but. You know, and I don't do a lot of massively multiplayer online games at all, just because a lot of them they suck me in, and it's easier for me to get sucked into a portable system than it is to a console or the PC, because with a portable system I can be anywhere with it. I can pick it up, put
you
it down.
You can get away from your computer.
Right, exactly. And you know, for games, you know, I know, yeah, games are great on the PC and games are great on a console, but the PSP is portable, and it's one of those gaming systems that it really is. It's the first gaming system I think I've ever felt this like just compelled to say you must get this. It's just an amazing system, and I hate Sony. I hate Sony. I dislike them. I don't like any of the products, but they really did well with this, and I see a lot of hope for the future. You know, if the original PlayStation was good, PS2 was great. If the PS2 is great, then PS3 is just going to be freaking amazing. So if this is just the first PSP, can't wait to see a second.
It probably all boils down to how many of them they sell, though. Because
they're going to sell. The PSPs, I'm telling you, they're going to sell like hotcakes. These things are so amazing. The price, you know, I bought the value pack, so I bought it for $250. That was already down $50 from about two months ago.
Did you get the copy of Spider-Man, or is that long?
It's gone. I was like, I wouldn't have watched it anyway. You know, I saw the movie. Why the hell do I want to own a UMD of it? I don't. I think that's why I feel confident of getting into the PSP now. Not only is it a great system, but look at what Sony did, like I said, with backwards compatibility. I don't see that there's going to be any reason that they're going to, you know, make a change with the UMD, at least form factor. They've kept backwards compatibility with the original PlayStation with PS2, and now they're talking backwards compatibility from the PS3. So they're not abandoning all those existing games, which is great to see.
You know, the one thing that I think is kind of unfortunate about these, though, the PSP, is that there isn't a viable DRM system for music that's available. I mean,
in the next version, I would be surprised if they didn't have it.
Yeah, but I mean,
look at what they're building.
They have a store.
Yeah,
but they don't have a viable store. It's horrid.
Yeah,
the user experience. I mean, I tried to download and install their like store app just to see, you know, what the experience even was.
Sony software usually sucks,
and it was awful. It is far inferior. Like, the worst store experience that I have ever had was Buy Music from Buy.com.
Oh, yeah?
Because their registration method for their DRM was, you downloaded, like, let's say I bought an album. I download the album. I had to type in my username and password to activate every single file in that album. So the more music you buy, the more penalized you are by having to activate the each individual track. And, you know, like with, like say, Napster to Go, or with iTunes or any of those, you might have to log into the system once, and then it'll check for all of your files to validate them, to make sure that that they're really consistent with the system. And in some cases, once you've validated, you never have to do it again. But, I mean, this was an instance of, I downloaded the file to my system, and then I had to type in my username and password for each individual file.
Oh, my God.
And that was just horrible. And so then Sony, I couldn't even figure out really how to effectively shop in their store and not absolutely hate the experience.
I really believe, you know, the PSP, great platform, new platform. I endorse it. It's not without its share of issues, but I'm telling you, if the PSP is this good, the next iteration of the PSP is just going. It's going to kick it up a notch.
I hope so.
Well, because look at now, it plays music, does video, does all these things. They're building the groundwork for really the future of things. And honestly, when they announced at E3, they announced the new Game Boy Mini, or the smaller Game Boy. I don't know if you've seen. If it's a prototype.
Actually, you know, that new version of the Game Boy actually looks semi-cool.
No, it doesn't. I totally disagree.
Well, I mean, I don't think compared to the PSP it doesn't look cool, but compared to the DS, I think it looks cool.
Even compared to the DS. I mean, really, I think Sony has just kind of reset the whole portable gaming, if you call it the whole arena. It draws you in, and it really is. It's addictive. The games look so amazingly cool. They would look great on a TV, but honestly, you could play the same games on the TV and they wouldn't have the same impact as they do in your hand.
It definitely is optimized for a small screen experience. I mean,
but it feels like HD right in the palm of my hand.
The graphic quality, I am blown away by the graphic quality that they were able to pull off in this device, because it's like, I look at this and compared to, say, the Portable Media Center, and Portable Media Center, granted, it has a hard drive in it, but
it's a brick.
How did they get this thing to be as thin as it is and still pack in all of the same stuff, essentially?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the UMD slot should take about the same amount of space as a hard drive. And, I mean, granted, Samsung, their Portable Media Center is thinner, than the PSP or the Creative or iRiver. But at the same time, the battery life is also worse on the Samsung than the other two.
Yeah. And, so, you know, with this, like I said, haven't had any battery life or any issues.
You haven't had any battery life?
No, any battery life issues. Let me finish. I didn't finish, unfortunately. I stopped it right there. I was making note of a comment that Lord Cat had just ICQ'd me, saying that Nintendo needs to stop putting out the same handheld every year. They need a new technology or they'll go the way of the Game Gear. And I agree. They haven't revolutionized anything. They've made it smaller, but you know, honestly, I don't. You know what? In you know, the Nintendo DS, very nice form factor. I mean, I'm sorry, not the DS. I didn't like the DS form factor, but the Advance, the Game Boy Advance,
was a good form factor.
Yeah, it's a great form flip screen. It was an amazing piece of hardware. Very small, very compact. You can't compare the Game Boy Advance. You can't even compare the Nintendo DS to the PSP.
No.
Two completely different classes. That would be like comparing. Seriously, and this is the way I would equate it. It's the difference between a Game Boy Advance game, or even to a certain degree, a dual screen game. Difference between that and the PSP is like the difference between Atari and Nintendo 64. It's just, you know, maybe that's dramatic.
Well,
probably
in a more modern sense, it's the difference between the first generation iPod and every other portable media device that was out there at the time that the first iPod came out.
Yeah, just light years beyond. It's just a fantastic experience. And I saw it and I knew that I would eventually own one, but I felt guilty because I had all these other game systems. See, the thing is, I had all these other game systems and good games, but I just never played them.
You know what Nintendo has going for it, though, with its portables? It's a no-brainer in terms of parents buying it for their kids because it's like $99.
Yeah.
And I mean, granted, $99 is not cheap, but
you can get it even cheaper than that too.
No, you can get it cheaper than that. But I mean, like, it's $100, and so as a gift, that's kind of a no-brainer gift. I mean, it doesn't really, really hurt to spend $100, whereas it by the time you've bought, you know, the system and some games. With the PSP, you're probably up to about $400 investment if you're going to really get some stuff. And with the Nintendo, you can get up and running for like under $200.
Yeah. Now, which games did you buy when you got the PSP?
I can't think of the role playing game that I got that came with it. And then the racing game. Were the only two games that I bought.
Which racing game? Like the Wipeout.
Wipeout.
Yeah, I've got like a $20 gift certificate from EB Games Online. And I'm just waiting for a few new games to be released before I spend it. But apparently, this Christmas or right around that time frame, they're going to be releasing Lemmings for the PSP.
No way!
And I'm like, yes, I am so there. I am so there.
Awesome.
What was it? Psygnosis? Was that the name of the company that did that game? And I remember. We had it on our old like 386 computer, like,
yeah.
Lemmings, that old. And I played it, but I didn't really understand it. And then I really kind of got into it, and I was just like, "Wow, this game is amazing!" Cool.
You know, the game that I couldn't believe that got brought back was I think they have it for both Xbox and PlayStation 2 is Leisure Suit Larry.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh wait, yeah, that's right. They did release a new version even for the PC.
Yeah.
Leisure Suit Larry, yeah. I never got into that series, though.
Well, I mean, it was a dorky series, because basically, I mean, you're
very
this,
cheesy.
You're this guy that's trying to go around and
get laid.
Get laid,
that's
yes.
pretty much that. That's what it is.
That was the purpose of the game. And so, I mean, the concept is silly, especially when it's a text adventure game.
Yeah.
So you're, like, having text conversations with like,
but this was entertaining the years before we had graphics.
Although, I mean, it fit into the concept of, like, the original Ultimas and,
yeah.
And like, the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy text adventure game. And I'm trying to think. There was a couple other ones that I'm drawing a blank on.
I used to play them on text adventure games on
Commodore.
Like, yeah, the Commodore 64. But the problem is that if you get a game that wasn't coded well, which is, like, half the games out there, it would crash.
There was someone where you had to, like, get off of a desert island and do some stuff that I would be able to get so far with, and then it would crash.
It would crash every single time.
If you chose the wrong thing, it was, like, error.
Yeah.
Done.
It wasn't Leisure Suit Larry. It was Roger Wilco. It was just, like, again, it was running on 386. and you could actually, there was a turbo mode button that if you turn it on, you could actually tell the difference between turbo mode and non-turbo mode, which is basically, I think it was using the math coprocessor at the time.
So it only worked if you had a DX as opposed to an SX?
Yeah, and I think it was just an SX, the 386. I only had a DX when I moved to the 486. But we played that, and there was a certain part in the game that if you had to do something, and you knew that like 50% of the time it was just going to crash, and the crashes weren't like blue screens. I mean, you crashed like on the Commodore 64, you could easily just turn it off, turn it on. I mean, reboot was nothing; it was all flash.
You had to make sure you saved your game a lot though, because otherwise you were starting over.
But you with the old computer games, like the crashes were like so non-uniform and they're so cryptic. And of course, to figure out what was wrong, you didn't have online tech support, you didn't have email, you didn't even have FidoNet at that time. You said call this number. It's like, oh, I'm gonna call a number to tell them it's crashed. Oh man,
it wasn't like you could even get on like a BBS, because then you're running up your parents' phone bill. And
no, there were no software patches, no updates. I mean, it's just antiquated by today's standards, and I just think, and I wonder if we're going to be looking 10 years from now, what's going to replace the PSP? It's going to be smaller, it's going to be thinner, it's going to be they're going to cut out. I'd argue that the next version of the PSP, the screen is going to have to stay the same size. So yeah. I don't know how much more room could they save on this thing.
I don't think they can make it smaller.
They can't. I don't think it's happening.
Much smaller. And the thing is, I mean, I think that there's a lot of things that are going to be replaced, and it's all of the things are going to go to the cell phone. But I don't think video and gaming are going to be part of that. I think that video and gaming is going to have to remain a separate device. I mean, I think some video, like talking head type video, like you could probably watch Jon Stewart and The Daily Show on your phone, and it would be okay, because I mean, mostly it's all about the delivery of his message is not really about what you're seeing on screen. I mean, some of it is, but I mean, not most of it. However, like for a small screen, watching a movie just doesn't work, or playing a game.
Well,
playing a game really wouldn't work.
You've got to see it on a really clean, a really really good screen. Even Robert Scoble was making mention of the fact that, you know, he was talking. He really didn't see the validity in a pocket PC, and then he saw one of the new ones that
the 640x480.
Yeah, that I think Josh from Tiny Screenfuls had showed him, and he just went. He's like, "Wow, that's just amazing!" And this, I'm telling you, this screen on the PSP is 10 times better than the screen on a pocket PC. It's got to be. I'm just telling you, the clarity on this thing is just
the 640x480 screen.
Yes, I'm telling you, this is just this resolution is not. This is widescreen. This isn't a 640x480.
No,
this is widescreen.
So,
and of course, they did that, and I think they did it very well. I'm looking for easier ways, though, to synchronize the stuff that I have. If it happens automatically, it's great, but right now it's still a kludge. Like, I have to transcode. I mean, right now I'm recording in Media Center, and unfortunately it records in that stupid MS-DVR file, and I think someone had released a utility that allows you to transcode from MS-DVR to like AVI or MPEG.
Go to Ben's house.
Why?
You may have to search for it.
Oh,
not your brother.
I was like, who's
brother.
Ben?
No, Ben's house. I don't know if it's benshouse.com, but if you search for Ben's house, or thegreenbutton.com is also another good place. You can find a lot of the tools for converting files, and the DVR or the DVR MS files, the best app I found for doing it is Digital Media Converter, which is kind of expensive, but it does batch processing, so you can load up a crap load of your shows and then convert them all, and it will convert between lots of formats. So, but there are a couple of free ones that will do specifically MS-DVR to AVI.
Yeah, that's all I was looking for that with the Nikon, which I'm still in the process of trying to sell. I think I've got it down. I'm probably going to sell the whole bundle minus the micro drive for probably about $700 is probably what I'm going to end
up selling. And you got it for what, like $800?
No, I got it for more than that. I ended up paying over $1,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got the kit, I got an extra battery. If you're gonna do it, you gotta do it.
And so you're gonna go with which Canon?
Canon S2, Canon S2IS.
S2IS?
Yeah. I believe that's the code name for it. In my opinion, it looks like to be the most amazing Canon portable camera for me.
And that's after you've been a long-time G-Series user.
Yeah, and I finally dropped the G-Series because it just seemed like Canon wasn't getting creative with their products. I just
Every year would be they just like release another like megapixel.
Yeah, and that was it. That they
the
were
G6,
really,
six
yeah,
megapixels.
They, yeah,
G7,
they weren't doing anything.
7 megapixels.
And this Nikon, you know, had everything that I wanted, and it still has everything. It's just that I'm finding myself to be more of a Canon guy. So I'm looking for a Nikon fan who's looking for a good deal on an 8800 in a care package. But I probably won't be terribly motivated to sell that until June when they release the new Canon. It's not out yet, so I'm not like.
So you're not in a rush to get rid of it.
Because I feel, you know, and I've mentioned this before, and even in my ruminations from last week, I'd said this. I find it difficult to get a new gadget if I have other gadgets that I'm not using or that I'm not going to use after acquiring the new gadget. It depends on, you know, how motivated I am, but, it may be the case where I actually acquire it and then turn around and then, you know, say, I need to sell this until I do find a buyer. And I know I will. I'm not worried about that at all.
It's a good deal.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great deal. And most likely, if someone makes the right deal, I can probably also get them the micro drive, which I'm likely to sell separate, from the actual hardware. Cause
so you have no use for the micro drive now?
Yeah, at this point, I don't have any devices that need the micro drive. And the only reason why I bought the micro drive is because Nikon used
the
micro drive.
So then the Canon must use SD?
SD. And I'm likely to, with the SD, I'm likely to get a faster SD with faster read-write because it does the image capture. And I'm going from 8 megapixels back to 5.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, so it's not a, you know, tremendous.
So
you know,
so why are you stepping down that much?
It's partly. You know what? Honestly, I'd say the largest part is I'm a Canon guy.
Well, see, I prefer Canon cameras, but why not get say like the Digital Rebel or something else that has a lot higher megapixel?
I always look at for digital cameras for years. I want the video. I want the video capability.
Despite being a GL2 owner.
Well, that's a good camera. Then when we start doing like television quality, or we need something of television quality, or to record something of high quality that can be done. But for the most part, all I take are like 1 minute segments of something, and then I encode them, and then you know make them go. Ultimately, what I would love to be able to do is to have you know, and I know they exist, just very expensive. Number one, the data transferred wirelessly. Number two, the data transferred wirelessly to other devices. So I've got, like I say, I've got a PSP here. You know, it can store video. You know, I would love to be able to, you know, set it on a table, put it somewhere in range, and then have it automatically synchronize with something that I've got. Like, for instance, if I can make it work with, if Beyond TV released a way that it encoded an MP4 and made it easy to have a conduit with the PSP, it would just be a dream come true. Because iTV, for the Mac platform, now has it the ability to save out to PSP.
Which is smart.
I think Beyond TV would just be, they support the PMC for some, you know, for that reason. That's what would probably pull me back and pull me out of the media center experience again.
You know, I bet somebody could write a plugin for Windows Media Center that would because you know
transcode,
the transcode, but the transcode for MSDVR to the WMV format supported by PMC is slow and painful. So, I mean, even if it was a slow and painful transfer to MP4, big deal. It's slow and painful. But I would think that it would not be that difficult to write a plugin because basically all you're doing is saying convert this file to this file, and there are tools that exist that will do it in a user interface. So how much different is it really to?
Well, I'm probably gonna I don't know. Every time I talk to Microsoft, even the Media Center people about that, they say, well, all a developer needs to do. I'm like, well, I'm not a developer for Christ's sake. I don't know anything about codecs. Don't tell me I need to find a developer because I'm never going to find one. Don't do that.
They all work at Microsoft.
We develop platforms. Yes, I know. You've shoved that down my throat. So I'm a freaking user. Get over it. So, I think it would just be an amazing thing to have. I mean, I don't have a PMC. I don't ever plan on buying a PMC ever.
I actually sold my PMC because
I'm not surprised. I knew I wasn't going to. They sent me to beta test. I'm like. Yeah, it's kind of neat, but I don't commute. I don't travel all that often. And quite honestly, if I'm going to carry something around, you know, I want it to do more than just movies and music. I really do. A brick to listen for listening to music just doesn't work for
me. If they even had had, like, say, Outlook syncing built in,
yeah,
that would
something.
Have been, that would have been
or
good
news feature. Reading or something or, like that. See, that's the next, I think, the next kind of killer app for the PSP is that kind of functionality. I'm very shocked that they didn't release something
I
like
won't
that.
I won't be as excited about that because I've already got, you know, like my Windows mobile phone. You've got a Windows mobile phone. I'm not as excited about having that kind of functionality built into the PSP because then not only do you have to have the browser capable of doing that, you also have to have the connectivity available, and it makes a lot more sense in the phone because the phone has a network connection always
built
there
in.
Built in because, I mean, the phone is a network. So, I mean, I don't see myself gravitating towards a gaming platform because it has RSS functionality.
Yeah, and I hate to introduce like something like feature creep to it, and not to say that would be the next, you know, step for it, but it certainly, you know, is something that I'm sure they've probably thought
Although
about.
Although a podcasting type client, I mean, and
something that would automatically
the,
it's content, so something that would automatically grab that stuff and let it you can.
Although
you can,
it's
okay,
still,
you're viewing pictures, you're viewing videos, you're playing games, all this content. What? Why can't you just as easily read text? You know, I'm talking like ebooks or like PDFs or any type of digital content. Why couldn't you view it on a PSP? There's no reason other than Sony just doesn't want to do it. Yeah, if you hack it in some way, why couldn't you do that? Why is that conduit not there? They're not thinking
because
like power
gonna,
users.
No, because that's not going to sell devices. You're not going to buy it.
Oh, you're buying it for the gaming.
You're never going to buy the PSP for that functionality.
Right, you're buying
point,
it for the gaming.
I mean, this is the thing. This is like the big debate, or I mean the big like difference between the PSP and, say, the Portable Media Center. That there honestly is no like overwhelming reason to buy a portable media center. Watching movies, okay, I can watch movies on a bunch of different things already. This gaming is what is going to sell the device. Gaming is what would have sold the portable media center had they put gaming on that device. I mean, had the portable media center been the portable gaming center, it they'd be into the millions upon millions of units by now because it's been out long enough. And instead, it's the portable media center. And because the primary thing that people are going to do is they're going to listen to music or spoken word or listen. And if I can get something that's like, say, the Creative Movo-sized tiny little platform or the iPod Shuffle or you know, iPod Photo, whatever size, that's a fraction of the size of the portable media center, why am I ever going to want this brick in my pocket so that I can listen to music? I'm not going to have both in my pocket at the same time. I'm going to have one or the other. And yes, it would be nicer to have both video and audio capability, but nobody's really giving me that in a form factor that's worthwhile.
No.
And actually the PSP, if I was going to pick something to carry around to have both, it'd be the PSP because it actually is pocket size.
And it does the gaming.
I'm
telling you, you just try it. This obviously is not a sales pitch. Sony doesn't know who I am. They don't want to talk to me, and that's fine. I don't like Sony. I have no love for them. I have no love for the memory stick, but I've got to give them props. I've got to give them credit where credit's due, and the industry deserves the PSP. It's going to leave Game Boy in the dust. I'm saddened to see that happen. But even the new mini factor, the micro or whatever they're calling the new Game Boy, the smaller version, it's the same old stuff, just smaller, and it just doesn't fly when you see it sitting next to a PSP, and it needs to compete. And the Sony, they trumped. They really, they've killed with the PSP. And I realize, you know, hey, Chris, you're a Johnny come lately. You know, this has been out for a few weeks. Yeah, but I try to look past the hype. You know, when it just comes out, everyone's talking about it. And, ooh, the newest PSP, the new PSP. Well, let me tell you, there's some meat to that. There's some substance to that. And take a look at all the fan sites that are out there. Take a look at all the communities that are growing up around it. But as I was discussing with Lordcat earlier this week, the problem with rallying behind a certain kind of game system is that planned obsolescence. You know there's going to be a new one. You know there's going to be a new one right around the corner. So if I came out and started, you know, doing PSP this, PSP that, you know, 2 years from now, and they release PSP 2, well, then I've got to evolve to the PSP 2, and so everything. So it's a never-ending thing. You never know where they're going to go. But I'm telling you, they did this first portable device. They did it the right way. They did it very well. So yeah, give it a shot. Give it a roll. It's worth it. Just trust me on this. It's so worth it. Even if you don't like gaming, trust me, it's worth it.
Well, I don't know. If you don't like gaming, you're probably not going to like it. But go to the store and check one out because the screen is amazing.
Yeah. I'm telling you, you will get into gaming if you start playing this thing.
At least you might want to watch Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, well, I don't think they even sell that unit anymore.
No, I think it's sold out. I actually had a Spider-Man 2 unit because I got it that early.
I watched Spider-Man 2, and I didn't like the movie when I saw it.
I got it because it was certainly out and I wanted to get it.
Certainly. But the value pack, I think, could have been cheaped. It probably could have been priced even cheaper than it is.
They should really do a different kind of bundling deal.
Yeah.
But
certainly.
Oh, well.
Well, we'll complain about Sony next week when we come back with live calls.
You can call in and complain about Sony.
Yes. Phone lines will be open next week. Can I announce the number? Did they secure it?
Yeah, they secured it.
We have it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in your Outlook contact, so of course it's there.
Well, yeah. Let's wait to announce it. But the phone number is a doozy. I can't wait to tell you what it is. It's a really good one. It's a really good one, folks. And believe me, you're going to remember it.
It's some combination of all 26 letters of the alphabet.
Can you believe we squeezed that into 10 numbers or 10 digits? Unreal. Absolutely unreal. But folks, thanks for sticking with us this week. Had a lot of fun with Brent. And of course, that show will be online here. Probably, Jake said possibly within the next day, so you can catch that. And that, of course, will go like wildfire in the RSS community, undoubtedly. And then we're probably going to upload this last hour as well, since we stuck to the PSP. So you can catch all this stuff online at thechrisperilloshow.com. Thanks to everybody in the chat room as well for hanging with us this whole time. Everybody, including User Bing Geek for supporting us as always. Lord Cad has become a new addition to the show, and we certainly appreciate his voice since he's definitely into gaming, helping Locker Gnome's Game Invasion channel get out there. So the next time E3 happens, Sony will know who Locker Gnome is. So we'll see. But anyway, folks, have a good week. We'll see you later.
The Windows Media Stream for the live broadcast of The Chris Perillo Show is provided by Limelight Networks. Listen to the live Chris Perillo Show in Windows Media Player. Download the latest version of the player for Mac and Windows users at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.